Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Three Muses and a Universe. Today, I'm here, this is Mary, I'm here with Sheila and Tierney, and we're going to talk about negative people. This is something that I think all three of us hear often in the readings and sessions we do with people. It's how can I deal with this person? Because you can't change people, but you have to deal with it. So today is about dealing with negative people, and what is it?
We hear about this most, I think, over the holiday season when you're out and about and with, you know, reuniting with friends and family that you haven't seen for a long time. And, you know, it actually tends to be the sort of the cultural joke. Places where people are kind of being thrown back together again, and it's always a fear about that negative one or this one and how to handle it.
Mm-hmm. That's very true, very true. What struck me as you were saying that, every time it snows, most people talk about these terrible drivers out there that don't know how to drive in snow and they're idiots and all this. And one day I asked, well, who is the idiot? Because everybody talks about those idiots. And so I think we're all the idiot and we're all the negative people in one way. But there is something very tangible when we're feeling hurt, we feel in pain. We want somebody, it's like having a box of pain, and we say, well, you hold this for me. And that's what we do when we're spreading that. We're really looking for a healing. But it's not up to people outside of someone to do the healing for them. So How do you deal with negative people, whether it's in the holidays or whatever, when you don't want to be their healer and you don't want to have to metabolize their box? How do you say, no, I won't take your box for you?
I often have said, no, I won't take your box for you.
Good for you.
You know, I mean, there came a point, and what we were saying as the show began is that, you know, each of us will have certain individuals that will come to mind, and we'll be kind of careful around that. But you know, there have been individuals that... I think that we have some responsibility. You know, we can either be codependent with them or we can hand their issues back to them. Because what are they doing in the first place? If they're, you know, if they're complaining, they're projecting, then they're essentially trying to make their negativity your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not yours.
Yeah, and to draw you into it. I mean, frankly, I try to avoid people like that, like the plague, you know what I mean, when I can.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're family members and you're stuck with them for life, you know. I'm not going to name any names, but, you know. But
suffice it to say family members.
Yeah, I try to do my best to just stay out of the way and stay out of the... out of the conflict, to not engage in it. But I had heard many years ago that a good way of dealing with negative people who, like, dump on you all the time and everything is to just say, what I have just forgotten what I was going to say. Oh, yes, I'm sure you're going to figure this out. I have faith in you that you'll figure this out. Good luck with it. The heck out of my sight.
Mm-hmm. but the good news is if you don't buy into it and you don't accept and you're not taking pity on that person, they will slip away into the ethers and not come near you again, because
yeah.
what they're really seeking,
because they're not getting what they want.
Right. Well, you know, they're seeking
right.
To sort of hook, you know, your energy, and so if you're not allowing that, your problem is mostly solved on the receiving end, because they will sort of disappear eventually. They'll find
yeah.
others who will.
Well, and it is true, one of three things will happen. Of when people of unequal frequency meet. Either the one up here, the one down here will rise up, or the one up there will go down and it'll be fighting and all that, or they'll part ways. And so I think holding frequency is one of the biggest challenges we have with that. We
yeah.
don't have to. We're so taught that we have to be, that we're guilty about everything. So the first reaction is, oh, it must be my fault. Let me fix this because it's me that's not good enough. Instead of seeing it as just being that person's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I do, and I'm not saying this is successful every time, but what I've noticed where my pet peeve of negative, quote-unquote, people is going out into a store and having a checkout clerk have to really take out the fact that their boss made them work through their break. And, oh, how are you today? It would be like they would say, oh, I would be better if it were 5 o'clock and I wasn't working and that kind of stuff. It's like, I don't really want to deal with that. You know, everybody has to work and do their stuff.
Yeah.
And I found that when
I don't really want to be here buying groceries from a negative person.
Yeah, yeah. So I found that what people are looking for is somebody that actually hears what they're going through. So if you just repeat it back, like, oh, yeah, that must be tough, and then leaving it there. But even that is kind of being codependent.
Yeah.
I just found that that sometimes gets me out of the situation.
Even that is engaging. And that's one of the things that I would say I have a big issue with is that if somebody emails me or texts me or whatever and it's something negative, I feel a need to respond to acknowledge that I got the email and the text. And then get out of it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And yet there have been many times in my life when I've been the negative person and I've been the one who and the person has never responded to me. And I've always been really curious as to how can you not respond, because I've got this thing inside me that says you have to at least be polite and acknowledge that, you know, you
that thing that says that we need to be polite and acknowledge is, I think, harkens back to the sort of tribal energy of, you know, sticking together and holding ground together.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in time, we're able to be individuals and we're able to expand our thinking and expand our consciousness, and we don't have to react anymore, but we're still sort of stuck in those cultural expectations.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I think because of that idea that the only way we've survived is by teaming up, because we're the only animal that doesn't have fur and claws and fangs, and we're kind of vulnerable and, you know, exposed. The only way we survive is each other. So if there is a dissension or discomfort going on, it's our nature to try to calm it down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I think that's part of it, especially children that grow up in very abusive or violent or verbally violent homes, is they just want to make everything peaceful so they can feel safe. And
mm-hmm.
these are the people that usually grow up to be the person that's got a negative spouse that just uses them as a whipping post, and they're always trying to fix the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
and if you do have, you know, as you were saying, Tierney, if there is someone who is sort of dishing it out but not receiving it, that's called narcissism.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, so they will dish it out, but then when it comes time for, you know, you to need support or what have you, they're suddenly not available, or they don't understand, or oops, they, you know, gotta go,
yeah.
What have you. And that I think that's a whole nother show.
Well, and a whole other thing too, though, is that if you do, I mean, there's a place that you've got to get to, and I don't know that place because I'm not quite there yet, and I feel like I get closer and closer to it. But if you do not respond, then sometimes that it still is eating at you inside. You know what I mean? And it's like, how do you get to the place where it's not eating at you and where you can just really rise above things? When it's people who matter, and then when it's people who are really pushing your triggers.
Right. But it really is up to each of us to not judge ourselves, or to take responsibility to the best of our ability, and then beyond that, not to accept others' judgments of us. Now, if we're doing something wrong and someone's pointing that out, that might be a whole different discussion. But if people are projecting on you in ways that just don't make any sense, it's not rational, then something is just going on with them, and I think it's up to us to recognize the human condition and understand that you're probably not the only one that they're projecting onto. Mm-hmm. They're probably doing it to many others.
Yeah.
And that they have a condition.
Yeah.
You know, they really have a condition, and it doesn't have anything to do with you.
There's the intellectual understanding of that. I mean, I think that most people intellectually know that it's not you, it's them, and, happy people don't try to make other people miserable. I think that we all kind of know that intellectually, but when it is people who matter or whatever, you know, there's an emotional contingent to it.
So what do you think, so let's just say, for example, let's say you have family members or even siblings, just as an example, who were projecting onto you in that way. And, you know, these are our tribe, so to speak, and it is very emotional. We want the love. We want the connection. What do you think those people are actually, what's going on with them? What are they projecting?
Well,
what do they want and what do they need?
Well, see, I think you're hitting upon the real heart of it and basically saying, is this our fight or is this our for us to do kind of thing? And there are times that we're going to have people that are important to us and we have to deal with it, period. I feel, a long time ago I did this meditation where I invited people to visualize their zone of silence, okay? I think we're so stressed out we don't have that anymore. And so people do things and it triggers us, like, you're late. Well, you were late last week, and we get into that. But when we have the zone of silence, and someone says, you were late, it filters through and gets distilled out and lands in your lap and says, I was really scared that you would abandon me and forgot about me completely like everyone else does. So then you say, I'm not being attacked. They're actually saying they're afraid, so I'm going to just not deal with what that's triggering in me, and I'm going to look directly at what they're really saying.
Yeah.
So then a response could be, that must have felt really scary just sitting there and you not knowing if I was even going to show up. I'm sorry, I'll call you next time. So it helps you to see the other person's side. Now, in the issue of the negativity when you're projecting, I think it's like what you're really looking for. And I remember saying to someone that took something out on me, and I even said to them, what you're really wanting is your mother's love, and somehow you're projecting that on me. And I'll give you the love, give me a hug, but I can't feel what the real hole is, or something.
Yeah. Right. So if somebody is, let's say, for example, disagreeing with your hobbies or your work or your friends, could it be that they are not happy and fulfilled within their own work and their own friends?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think that there's an insecurity there. I also think that it's possible that person might be like what Mary was saying, is why aren't you accepting me? Why aren't you embracing me when you're embracing all of that stuff? And then they do the thing that pushes you further away. You know what I mean? There's that weirdness in life that when we want something from somebody, sometimes we will attack them and therefore push them away instead of draw them closer. You
and that's there's some aspects of not accepting yourself in that, and not accepting yourself and judging yourself.
Yeah.
Because as we are full, I have known people who were incredibly negative, stuck on the same issues for decades, who, when they began to switch out of that career that they absolutely hated, go into a vocation that was more meaningful and that they were more aligned with. Getting out of that marriage that was burying them under, getting into new relationships, you know, all of a sudden life is different and they're happy and they're not unhappy
yeah.
with you anymore
yeah.
because they're not unhappy with their own life
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that that is a really good point. And it pain, anybody that inflicts pain is always in pain. It just can't be any other way. And when people are being negative, not taking it personally, and there was another point I was going to make, but it's slipping my mind, but there's always something else
mm-hmm.
in the hopper to talk about, and I'll mm-hmm. mention it when I do think of it. But you were saying something just a little while ago
mm-hmm.
about, I can't remember what that was. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so
okay.
negative people make you forget things, so there must be a negative person walking by outside. No, I'm just kidding.
but is there a difference between someone who is negative about themselves?
Oh, yeah, that was...
Or, you know, as opposed to being negative about the world. You know, we complain about people in other countries that, in this country they're doing that, and that race is doing this, and that gender is doing that, and, you know, and so
that,
on.
Yeah, and thank you for saying that, because that is what I wanted to comment about when you guys had brought that up. Just a quick little thing. When I was doing this particular job, there were three of us, three women, and we all did the same job, but for three different divisions, and we sat together, and one of the ladies was wealthy, didn't have to work, but her kids had grown up, and she was bored, and the other two of us were raising our kids and supporting our kids solely. And so we would stay until 7 o'clock, get everything done. We were just really did all that and never really got the validation, but she would just get up at 5 and leave. And so I found one day us at lunch talking, how can she just get up and leave like that? And then I realized I'm not mad at her. I'm mad at me for staying till 7.
Yeah, right. For not getting up and leaving.
Right. And so
right.
when people are judging what you do, and we had talked about that a little bit earlier, like if you're happy at your job or you're doing something you really love and people are grinding away over there and they're, well, that must be nice, and they're really angry at you. It's because they're angry at themselves for not being free with themselves like you are.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And I know I smoked cigarettes for 26 years, and I quit 12 years ago. But it took me a very long time to quit. But I know that when I was quitting, in all those years that I was smoking and that I was active in that addiction, I had all kinds of judgments about alcoholics and how disgusting alcoholics are and all of that. And I remember one time a woman said to me, because I was questioning her, she was a psychotherapist, and I was questioning her about the alcoholism and stuff like that, and she said, if you could quit right now, I mean, why don't you quit? What is keeping you from quitting? And when she said that, I kind of realized, oh, yeah, okay, I'm just like these people that I'm criticizing, the alcoholics and the drug addicts and everything. And as I went through my recovery, I realized that every time I picked up a cigarette, I was getting a fix. That every time I had a craving, I was jonesing for my drugs. You know what I mean? I had all the things, a heroin addict, an alcoholic, all of those things. I was that, and it was no different just because it was cigarettes and nicotine for me than it was alcohol for them, than it is now for me with food issues. You know what I'm saying? And at that moment, when I realized that, and when I saw that journey, and when I healed my sort of cigarette addiction, my nicotine addiction thing, I stopped having those judgments, and I started having more compassion. And I think that when you've healed something, you tend to have compassion for it because you know what the person is going through. And when you've got something unhealed in you, so this is getting back to the negative people, then you criticize people who are like you. And it doesn't have to be a carbon copy of them being like you. So it didn't have to be other nicotine addicts. I could have compassion for nicotine addicts. I couldn't have compassion for alcohol addicts or cocaine addicts or any of those kinds of things. But I think that when you go through the journey and when you heal something, then you no longer have that negativity. And the more things that you heal, the less negativity that
you
have.
But why do you think it took that moment that she made a statement that sort of opened your awareness? Why could you not have had that awareness a year before or 5 years before?
I could have, but it was because I was so desperately attached to my own addiction and to justifying my own addiction, which is why I wanted to judge other people's addictions. Do you see what I'm saying in a way? It's one thing to be addicted to nicotine, but hell, at least it's not alcohol. At least I'm not out there endangering people's lives. No, it's all the same thing. And so my attachment to my thing and my trying to make my thing okay, I think.
But what I'm getting at is that there had to be an opening in your consciousness,
yes,
at that time that aligned with her comment.
Yeah, and I think that I was probably getting ready.
Earlier.
I think I was just getting closer to dealing with my own issues.
But you were ready to hear her.
I was ready to hear her. I was ready to heal my own issue.
And so you were taking responsibility. In other words, what I'm getting at is that she was the trigger in that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But it couldn't have happened unless you were at a point of, you know, sort of opening
exactly.
up to a higher, consciousness.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And being willing to see and being willing to get to a place where I'm actually, you know, a lot of the times people will say that they want to hear your opinion or they want to know what you think is wrong with them or whatever, but they don't really. So I was getting to a place where, because I was ready to begin healing.
Well, you're right. It's like we have to hear it to build a room, and we usually reject it, and then we go away and we'll hear it two or three times. I've noticed that in my telling people things for many years. It's like people don't hear it, they're ridicule,
right.
and then they finally hear it. But it does show you that everybody is always on a progressive movement toward getting to know themselves and stuff. And everything really is about you. If you're feeling upset, it's about you. It doesn't matter what it looks like. And so if you just operate under that if that negative person is triggering you, then that's an opportunity to find something within you. And if the negative person doesn't trigger you, then who cares if they're negative? But if they're triggering you, that's a sign, okay, there's something in me.
Yeah.
So
and
what
so
part of
me
does that negative person represent
right.
is a good thing to ask
yourself.
Because then it's in your power again.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it feels like you're at the mercy of all these negative people around, and you can throw a rock and find one, usually.
Yeah.
And I know I'm using the term negative people, and I know you guys feel this way too. It is more accurate to say a person that's going through a negativity phase or a negative, whatever we want to call it.
I don't know. I have a couple of people on my Facebook
page. Stuck in their patterns.
Yeah. That are just negative people. They just can't, you know what I mean?
Well, a good way to know that you are sort of over that particular issue, that they're triggering you, a good way to know that you are sort of filling in your own holes, maybe, is when you are not getting triggered.
Yeah. Yeah,
when you're not getting triggered, you know that you're over it. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of amazing how the energy doesn't hook you, or you know you're not
it's
such a different state of consciousness when you're just unto yourself and you're not hooked and you remember those days when you were hooked and you say, wow, what a difference this is. And it's really just all, you know, perception, really, in a way, or understanding.
Well, even in the process of it, it's like a yardstick for you. You know what I mean? It's like even if you're still getting triggered, there's still that yardstick where it's like, I'm not getting triggered as much as I used to get triggered. You know, and you see where you're making, you know, one of the things that I don't know if we want to talk about is this whole thing about the reflecting back at you, because I think that a lot of people think that that's like tit for tat,
So it's like,
you know, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Because people say, so my boss is abusing me. Does that mean I deserve abuse? No.
Yeah. Or I'm an abuser.
What that means is some part of you feels that it's okay for this to be going on. Where are you abusing you in your life? Like making you stay in that job?
Yeah.
It's really just...
It doesn't mean that you're mean to other people who are subservient to you.
Yeah.
Like your boss. It's not a not a literal reflection.
Yeah.
But it could be an unworthiness that you deserve better.
Yeah. Or it could just be, like what we were saying, a signal of a place where you're still insecure or still trying to heal that maybe you thought that you had healed and voila. Along comes
and sometimes it's seemingly very unrelated, but just looking for the mirror, saying, what is this telling me about me? And maybe just telling me about the upsetness. Like there was a period of time after my sister passed, who was my best friend, still is on spirit level, but I found myself getting really too open with girlfriends because, and then they would hurt me, you know, like they would, I would think, oh, this is somebody I can really trust, and I found out they were just, like, making stuff up or whatever, and I found it extremely painful. So I said, what is the mirror in that for me? And I realized it hurt all the way up to the point where I realized I was trying to recreate my sister. That was what the mirror was.
It wasn't
like a tit for tat, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, my God, I can't recreate my sister. And so I did not have that level of pain ever again from that moment on.
Yeah.
So if you use it for a reflection of insight might be a better way of saying it rather than a direct mirror, although that happens too. So why is it hurting me? Why is that situation hurting me is probably a better...
And, you know, that's interesting you say that because I lost my mother at 21 and I can see where there have been a few women along the way that I've kind of made into mother figures, even though that's not the way I consciously felt about it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And none of those relationships are still intact because, you know, just like you were saying, some sort of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it was from that moment that I realized that. And
yeah.
It wasn't all that long ago, by the way. I mean, my sister died 10, 11 years ago or 12 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I realized that these things with what these people were supposedly doing to me hurt so bad because I really never dealt with losing my sister as a human being because I was dealing with it on a spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for that same trust and love in that. And so once I did that, it's like I just don't have that same relationship to it. And so I think that same dynamic just wouldn't even affect me now, like you were saying, no longer triggered. So it doesn't come in your orbit. It'll get magnetized to somewhere else.
That's a good way to, if you want to know what your state of consciousness is or how much processing you have left to do, look around at the people around you in your life.
Yeah.
And if you know, and if you feel like you want to complain about every single person, then it's time to do processing and purging.
And I agree. If it's in your orbit, there's still something that needs to be healed and dealt with there.
Yeah. And it's not like those Safeway or wherever won't still wait on you at the checkout counter. You just won't notice it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if your elbow doesn't hurt, you don't think of your elbow.
Yeah.
And so it may still be around you, but it just won't even get into your field.
Right. And as Tierney said, though, there are those times where, you know, if it happens to be close family member, you're not going to oust those people from your life entirely. Oh, you may. But if it's at a need to be around them at holidays or at certain times, or you're taking care, you're a caregiver for someone and they have no one else, then it's especially critical to manage your own, you know, energy field and get right with yourself so that you are, you know, immune to those hooks.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's really brilliant. Okay. Well, I think that was really brilliant, and we could have a whole other conversation about the individual areas of life, too. So join us again next month for Three Muses and a Universe. So it was our joy and honor to to be with you today.
Goodbye, Internet.
Bye, everyone.